Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Mike, good morning. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good to see you.
I'm not going to ask how the football game was because I know how it was. But it was, I mean, it's a good run. It's a great run.
It's hard.
How are you? You all right?
It's hard for I still can't really talk about it. If you were to ask me on Friday, I'd probably start crying.
Fair.
So I feel like I'm improving a little bit in that regard. But you know what it's like because you were here almost to the same extent last year. You guys went to the championship game.
At least we got smoked, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't a throw in the fourth
honestly,
quarter.
Honestly, I would rather lose 42-0 than lose the way that Penn State did. But I feel like with this format and with some programs just so far ahead of others in the NIL game right now, that's probably the last time in my lifetime that I'm going to see Penn State get that far. And that's what sucks.
You think like so?
Let me tell you why. Okay. Let me tell you why.
The quarterback, both 1,000-yard backs are coming back.
Oh, I can't wait for that quarterback to come back. Yeah, he was awesome the other night. And you're right. Like, I was excited to see Singleton and Allen are coming back tonight. Dennis Sutton's coming back. Like, that, honestly, I think that's a really good sign. Like, you have a lot of guys who would have been maybe second, third, fourth round picks deciding to come back, take one more shot at that.
Speaks to the NIL, too, because other people were calling them.
It does, I'm sure. And look, I would idealistically like to think that part of it might be that you have a good culture up there, and maybe it's a little bit less about NIL and portal, a little bit more about just the culture. That's kind of what I'm hoping. I know realistically that's probably not the case.
Yeah.
I think the issue is, Randy, Penn State, their payroll this year was $13 million. That's not competitive with Texas and Ohio State and Notre Dame, who are all over $20 million. I don't know where George is at. I'm assuming they're probably going to be over $20 million. The problem is at Penn State, you've got alumni who are still believing that this is the Joe Paterno era of college football, that the idea of NIL is abhorrent and they're not going to pay into it. And that's going to put Penn State at a disadvantage. And look, they're going to adjust the format to make it harder on teams. Like, Penn State got a cake draw this year. Cake.
Right.
That will not happen again. You know, they'll take out the automatic bid or buys for the conference champions, or they'll do something. It's just going to be harder from here on out. This was their shot, and they blew it. And that's what they do all the time. They blow it.
Do you think the team that beat them, do you think they can hang with Ohio State?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're tough. And they have a miraculous ability to come back from concussions. That's weird, too. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I'm still not over it.
It's
really hard for me to talk about.
Oh, you never will be. You never will be. It's okay.
Like, the guy gets knocked senseless. Penn State completely pivots at halftime to adjust for the backup quarterback, and then Riley Leonard puts a Superman cape back on. That's the fastest I've ever seen anyone clear concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute miracle. Again,
it's a miracle of modern medicine. You should be happy for him.
I think it's going to be a very good game here on Monday. I don't think Ohio State blows them out. Mm-hmm. I think they're two very physical teams, two teams that play very good defense. I think Notre Dame has a better quarterback than Ohio State. That could equalize things a little bit. I think Ohio State probably ends up winning this game, but I don't think they blow out Notre Dame at all. I think we have seen, even in the one occasion where Notre Dame lost this year, they're in every ball game.
Right.
So I would not be shocked if Notre Dame pulled this upset on Monday. I think Ohio probably ends up winning it. And, Big Ten, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Back-to-back national champions.
Big Ten pride. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
Back-to-back national champions.
The SEC people do it. We got to do it, too.
Well, look.
We got to band together, Mike.
I was thinking about this today.
Coast to coast.
I was thinking about this today. Penn State they will end up this year having lost to the national champion, the national runner-up, and the Big Ten champion, who was number one all year, Oregon.
Right, right.
Okay. Georgia, not to be silly here, but Georgia lost to the Gator Bowl champion, the ReliaQuest Bowl loser, and then either the national champion or runner-up. Just think that's interesting. Just pointing things out.
Yeah, they also were the SEC champion.
They were. And congratulations.
Yeah, they were.
I don't think that means what it meant 2 years
ago. Of course.
Ago.
But if Penn State won the Big Ten, I bet you would make it. It would be a big deal, right?
Well, if Penn State would have won the Big Ten, they would not have made this playoff run because
they
would have been knocked out of the Rose Bowl.
It might have been different. It might have been different.
That's my question, though, because, like, look, Penn State won two playoff games, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's great. You and many in your fan base don't trust your coach. Do you feel differently about your coach after this season, at all, one way or the other?
James Franklin did a great job. And when we talk about all these kids passing up second and third round draft grades to come back, it has to be a reflection on the culture that he has created and that you have guys that want to play for him. He's done a great job. And you know I'm critic number one of James Franklin. I thought it was incredibly cheap the way that ESPN and others were taking shots at him after the game on Thursday, pointing out his record against top 10 teams.
Yeah.
If you watch that game, and again, this is really hard for me to talk about, but if you watch that game Thursday, how can you objectively say that that game was lost by Penn State because of a coaching error?
No.
That's absolutely absurd.
I would stay aggressive.
It's low-hanging fruit.
That's absolutely absurd. Yeah. I thought it was cheap.
It is.
And it just goes, the way that ESPN has covered college football over the last month is miserable. You know, dating back to Indiana shouldn't be there and all that. I was very disappointed about it. Now, all that being said, what did I tell you guys a month ago? Guys, you watch. He's going to win two playoff games, and he's going to hang his hat on that, and they're going to be playoff wins over SMU and Boise State. What does that really mean?
Right.
And that might still be fair to say. I don't know. But I don't think you can look at, like, look, again, the three teams that they will have lost to this year, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oregon, they were not unprepared in any of those three games. They did not lose any of those three games on coaching errors. They lost those three games because the team with better talent won the game.
Right.
So you can't really hang that on coaching, I don't think.
Which is, I mean, you look at the record against top five teams, they've only been favored in two of them. Yep. That tends to be what happens. Like, they get beat by teams that are just a little bit better than them.
That guy, Franklin, is elite at winning and covering against teams that he should beat.
Yep.
Elite. You know, and he's very consistent in losing the games that they are underdogs.
Well, the hardest thing to do in college football is to get from that level to the next level.
That's exactly
It's very hard to get from average to consistently good and winning 10, 11 games, all that stuff. But the hardest thing, because Georgia was there forever, was there for 40 years.
We're talking about that, Mike. We always talk about that.
Trying to get over the top.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Richt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, era right there.
That's the reasonable comparison.
I'm just hoping it's not Frank Beamer, you know, because that's another one who got his team, his program really, really close one time, but could never win the big game, ever. And the one time he got them really, really close, Miami was not quite what they were the following year when they got loaded with Dorsey and McGahee and, you know, Wilfork and all those guys. That's what I don't want to see because that if Penn State is comparable to Georgia from 2002 to 2015, that's not a bad program. Georgia should have won the national championship twice in that span. They should have gotten a title shot at least twice in that span.
Right.
That's not a bad place to be. I don't want it to become a Frank Beamer situation where, yeah, you're good. There's a team in your conference that's always going to be better than you. You might get the golden path 1 year, and you still fall short when you get that chance.
I think this era, though, makes it more likely that teams will have more chances than that era did. Because if Rick had the 12-team playoff, then they could have proved it. They could have proved it, right?
Yeah.
You don't lose that one heartbreaking game. Look at Ohio State this year. If this was 15, 20 years ago, Ryan Day would be unemployed right now.
That's true.
But instead, he's playing for the national championship on Monday because there's a 12-team playoff, and he's had a chance to bounce back from that horrible loss that would have been their last loss of the season.
Right.
They would have gone to a bowl game, whatever. But, like, this era allows, I think, hopefully, for I don't know, you make a mistake, whatever, and you can fix it. The best team to actually end up winning the national championship.
When we revisit this conversation in 5 years, it'll be very curious to me if we've gone to just basically a super program era where it's always going to be Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia.
Does it seem like
and
it's
maybe
going
one
way?
Or two others.
Does it seem like going that way?
I don't think any of those programs are going away.
No. I said, do you think it's see it going that way?
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like it might because, again, like, you know, Penn State's a blue blood program that will not be in the same NIL pool. The equalizer would be if somehow there is a national salary cap.
Right.
Yep.
That then the door is wide open for everyone. Yep. You know, then the door is open for Georgia Tech. The door is open for, you know, Northwestern and Oregon State and all of that.
Well, then like, the bagmen just come back. Then you just start doing it under the table again.
Well, and then it probably reverts back to the little SEC again.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. Anyhow, look, I have thoroughly enjoyed this playoff. I think it's been fun to have college football extend for a couple more weeks and have it keep going. I am beyond heartbroken at how it ended for Penn State, but for Ohio State and Notre Dame fans, they should be super excited for what's to come on Monday, because I think it's going to be a great game.
I do, too. Mike, we got you for a few more minutes. Hawks, is there any on Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, I wish I knew.
Right.
Because that's, I think, so determinant to how the next couple days and or weeks are going to go for them. Look, the Hawks, and we saw this early in the season, they're just not deep enough to survive an injury to Trae Young and or Jalen Johnson right now. And you know, play above 500 basketball during that stretch. And we saw that in October and November, and then they got healthy and they started playing really well, and now you've got this thing with Jalen. Trey could be out tonight as well. He's got an illness, so he's listed as questionable. It's also, the schedule this month is goofy. You have the Houston game postponed. You play tonight against Phoenix, then you're on the road for another week.
Right.
I think they only have three home games now the rest of this calendar month, which is very tough. I would like to maybe have more definition on Jalen Johnson. If this is one of those deals where, yeah, he could be back in a game or two, I'll feel a lot better. If he's going to be out for a couple weeks, then the Hawks have got to start making some trades. We've already identified they need to find a backup point guard
right. In
the worst way. If Jalen Johnson's going to be out, you know, medium term, you're probably going to have that under consideration as you pick up the phone and you look at addressing this roster before the trade deadline comes up, if you want to compete for a top six spot in the East, which the Hawks are still very much in the mix for.
Yeah, they got the Suns tonight. Both teams 19-19. Suns kind of trending up with Bradley Beal back healthy, coming off the bench, playing well.
And beat them last Thursday.
Yeah, beat them last Thursday. Bradley Beal played well in that game. And the Hawks kind of going the other way. Again, it's so determinant on, and it was like this last year too. Yeah. Like, we didn't realize what Jalen Johnson kind of was going to turn into, but they played well early, and then he got hurt. And I was like, dang, the record without him is crazy. He's just so vital, especially to what they want to do defensively. They don't defend at the same level when he's not on the floor, and you got a good offensive team like Phoenix. It's just hard.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you can get away with this if you're playing the Utah Jazz, and you still needed a half-court heave to get by them. It's the margins are so narrow when you're playing a team like the Phoenix Suns, who can, you know, get offense from five guys on the floor. So hopefully you get him back. This is a tough week. You've got to then turn around and go to Chicago, and Chicago has owned you.
Yep.
Chicago
for
has
years.
Owned you for the last couple of years, and especially the last, you know, what, 12, 13 months. Like, you've really struggled against those guys. And then you got to go to Boston. And
you've owned them.
Don't think that the Celtics aren't alert to the dangers that come with playing the Atlanta Hawks. And then you play the MLK game at the Knicks. Another team that will be shields up against the Hawks. So you'd never want to call a game in January before you're halfway through the season a must win. But, boy, you've got to get something at home tonight.
Yeah.
You really do need to get something at home tonight, because this is a very challenging road trip they have coming up.
Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you,
Thank
Mike.
You. Great stuff,
right,
as
guys.
Always.